This is your Polycast for Thursday, June 23rd, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a quick look at the news. Governor Mark Dayton said yesterday that Minnesota will appeal a recent court decision striking down part of a 2007 energy law. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
North Dakota had sued Minnesota over a provision of the Next Generation Energy Act that says Minnesota cannot bring any new coal-fired power into the state without offsetting the emissions. North Dakota officials say it violates the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. A federal appeals court last week sided with North Dakota, but Dayton says Minnesota will now ask the U.S. Supreme Court to review the decision. He says the issue is about protecting air quality for Minnesota residents. The lawsuit has been working its way through the courts for nearly 5 years. Meanwhile, more recent federal policies targeting carbon emissions could end up having more influence than Minnesota's law on the future of coal-fired power in the two states. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Dayton is offering to roll back some of his requirements for a special session if it helps to reach a deal with House Republicans. A day after negotiations with top lawmakers stalled, Dayton said yesterday that he's willing to give up half of his $186 million list of additional bonding projects that he outlined 3 weeks ago. He said he won't budge on the University of Minnesota Health Sciences building or the maintenance and repair of buildings in the Minscue system.
I'm reluctant to give up anything, but if they insist upon that to reach an agreement, I've always said compromise means you agree to things you don't agree with, and I'm willing to agree to things that I don't like because we need to get this settled.
Dayton's new suggestion means improvements to the state security hospital, a new Fort Snelling visitor center, and state park and trail upgrades could fall by the wayside. House Republican leaders contend that they've already made significant compromises on bonding. No new talks are scheduled. As the Allina Health Nurses strike enters its fifth day, the hospital system says its five Twin Cities area hospitals are operating normally. Mark Zedeklik reports.
Allina spokesman David Canahan says admissions and emergency room visits are at near normal rates. Canahan says recent state regulator oversight backs up Allina's statements that replacement nurses are delivering quality care.
The Minnesota Department of Health has completed evaluations of all of our affected hospitals and have found no issues of concern. So I just want to emphasize that this further demonstrates that our care teams and the temporary nurses are doing an excellent job caring for our patients.
The nurses' union used day four of the strike to highlight concerns about workplace safety and patient attacks on nurses. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Testimony began yesterday in federal court in the case of Jordan Davis. He's charged with conspiring with his father, Bill Davis, to misuse taxpayer dollars through Community Action of Minneapolis. Brant Williams has an update.
In opening statements, Assistant U.S. Attorney Kimberly Svensson accused Davis of stealing more than $140,000 from a nonprofit agency that is supposed to help the needy. She said Davis was collecting paychecks from an ice cream shop funded by Community Action even after he'd started working as a Minneapolis police officer. Svensson said Davis also used a company debit card and a car for his own personal use. Defense Attorney Fred Bruno said Davis was paid to be on call, and he said that prevented him from working lucrative off-duty assignments, which many other police officers do to supplement their incomes. The trial is expected to wrap up early next week. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
Earlier this year, a fungal disease that's killed millions of bats across the eastern U.S. was found in Minnesota for the first time. There's no cure for white nose syndrome, but scientists here are trying to help bats survive by protecting the forest where they raise their young. Dan Gunderson has the story.
White nose syndrome spreads in caves where bats hibernate, and the disease typically kills 90% of infected bats. Minnesota's bat population has been mostly spared so far, but scientists say it's only a matter of time since white nose syndrome was found this winter at the Sudan mine on the Iron Range. University of Minnesota Duluth researcher Ron Moen says it's important to study bats before the full effects of the disease hit.
Here in Minnesota, like Sudan, for example, not next year, but the year after that is when we should really see the effects in terms of the population dropping.
Along a narrow trail in Itasca State Park, Moen and a crew from the Natural Resources Research Institute at UMD are setting up a bat-catching net. Aluminum poles hold a nearly invisible mesh net 25 feet tall. When bats come out at night to feed on bugs, they fly into the net. Bats are voracious bug eaters. A single bat can devour 1,000 insects an hour. The Minnesota DNR says bats provide millions of dollars of pest control for farm crops. Ron Moen says since there's no cure for white nose syndrome, the focus is on rebuilding populations, and that makes it important to understand what kind of summer habitat bats use to reproduce.
When white nose hits and you lose 90% to 95% of the bats, they're going to have to recover with successful reproduction.
So this habitat's pretty important.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of habitat. Minnesota has a lot of forests. But if loggers cut trees in June and July, they could kill baby bats living in the trees. So Moen wants to find the best way to identify that critical habitat. When it's nearly dark in the forest, the crew raises the three nets they've set up across two nearby trails. They'll check the nets every 10 minutes until 2 a.m. The first bat is caught at 10:40. It's a little brown bat, the most common of seven species in Minnesota, and the kind that most often gets into homes. Inside a screen tent set up to provide some protection from mosquitoes, scientist Morgan Swingen examines the unhappy bat.
So there's some light splotching on the left wing.
This bat shows possible signs of white nose syndrome. Light-colored splotches or lesions dot the paper-thin skin of its wings.
During the summer, you're not going to see the actual fungus growing on the bats because it only grows in the cave environments. So the wing damage is really the only visible signs you can see now.
It's a bit surprising to see signs of white nose here. The Sudan mine is more than 100 miles as the bat flies. Researcher Ron Moen says that's farther than bats normally travel.
Unless these bats are actually going all the way back to the Sudan mine, it's possible there's another hibernacula in Minnesota that's infected. You know, we don't know where that is, but it would be nice to know in the future.
Bats are not heavily studied, so there are more than a few mysteries about where and how they live. Near midnight, the crew catches what they're after.
Northern, and that's high confidence. And it is a female.
The northern long-eared bat is the focus of this research. It's been hit harder than other species by white nose syndrome and is listed as a threatened species. This one appears to be pregnant. A tiny radio transmitter is glued to her back. Tomorrow, a crew will try to track her to the tree where she spends daylight hours. One tree might be home to a single bat or dozens of female bats, a maternity colony.
Absolutely.
After the pups can fly, the bats will move around the forest until it's time to return to a cave in the fall. By the end of next summer, Ron Moen hopes to have tracked 150 bats to their roost trees. The data collected will help develop ways to manage the forest, hopefully in time to protect the threatened bats. Covering the environment, Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio News, Itasca State Park.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.